management, or ownership of WGCH Radio.
Hey everyone, it's Carol McManus. Welcome to the LinkedIn Ladies Show on 1490 WGCH. It's a great day here in Greenwich, and we have some fun stuff to talk about today and a great show, but I have to start with the hot news. If you haven't gone by your local Starbucks or your convenience market, make sure you pick up a copy of today's USA Today, because all over the front page is news about Facebook. The headline is, Member or Not, Visit Facebook and It Tracks You. So let me give you the Cliff Notes version and a little bit of a weigh-in on my opinion about this. The issue is fundamentally, how is Facebook collecting and mining data about us? And we have always known on all the sites that you're on, whether you're on Yahoo or Google or any place you go, there is data mining that's going on behind the scenes. And that can be viewed through a positive lens or a negative lens. But what's disarming about this latest information is that Facebook is mining data about people who come to visit the site who may not even be members of Facebook, who have not volunteered to have a profile or a page on the site. And the way that could happen is if you go to somebody else's site and they have a Facebook or a like button on their page, and let's say they entice you by saying, we're having a contest, go to our Facebook page and you click on it, you now have opened up yourself and your IP address of your computer to be tracked by Facebook. And this is what has everybody up in arms. But let me just quick give what I see as the pluses and the minuses, because I think you all know me well enough to know by now that I try to take a balanced perspective. From the positive side, one of the things that Facebook is trying to do is use information to create a customized experience so that you are not getting more spamming and unnecessary information. And they've done this, frankly, very effectively with their advertising. What appears on your page or on your profile are things that should be of interest to you based on what you've put in your profile. The other thing is, by tying everything together on the internet, and this goes way beyond Facebook, it makes it more efficient for us to be able to manage our online and our social media experience. Now, on the negative side, ongoing issues have been privacy and security, and the fact that when changes are made, we're not always aware of them, and they often impact what we thought were our security settings, and they get changed without our knowledge. The bigger concern that I have about this most recent discovery is that there's no clear understanding or explanation as to exactly how this information will be used. There is speculation that it's tied to the pending IPO that Facebook is going to come out with next year, and that the information will be part of their value proposition in how they can generate a revenue for their investors, because the little Facebook ads that we do see on our profile is not enough to sustain the giant that Facebook has become. And if they want to keep the membership free, revenue has to come from somewhere. So that's speculation. And then my big one, of course, you've heard me say this before, is that we're giving up control. And I don't like putting all my eggs in one basket. I want to have control of my experience and my interface with the people that I connect with. I don't want to put it all in the hands of one website, no matter who it is, whether it's Facebook or anybody else. So just some things to think about. It's a well-written, very comprehensive article, and I really, really recommend that you go check it out. So let's move on to my guest, because this is going to be very relevant to anyone who is a current homeowner or a prospective homeowner or anyone who is considering making perhaps additions to their homes. My guest is Rob Frangione of Frangione Engineering right here in New Canaan, Connecticut. He is a great friend, a business colleague, and someone who I have come to have great, great respect for. But before we get into the business side of us, just tell us a little bit about your background, Rob. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Carol. Thank you. I'm a licensed professional engineer. I'm licensed in four states, Connecticut, New York, Vermont, in Colorado. I have a wife and three kids. My wife, Lisa, is from Greenwich originally, and my three kids are Robert III, Julie, and Kate. And they're 4, 2, and 2. It's a lot of fun.
4, 2, and 2. Yes. So I hear a set of twins in there.
Yes, twins.
Okay.
And last night was interesting. And let's see, in my free time, I am the pole vault coach at New Canaan High School. I coach the boys and girls track team.
And you've been doing that for a long time.
Long time. Been doing that since, well, I used to coach in Greenwich. And then back in about 2000, 2001, I went full-time over to New Canaan to coach there.
Fabulous. So a family man, an engineer, and a pole vault coach.
Yes.
So let's tie it back to your business. First of all, maybe for everybody's benefit, What is an engineer? I mean, let's talk about your profession first, and then I want to talk about how you're different.
Well, there's many different types of engineers. I'm a civil engineer, right. And I basically deal my specialty is land use. I do grading and drainage designs. I do septic system design. I do representation before wetlands commissions, planning and zoning boards, conservation commissions, health departments. Basically, if anybody wants to put an addition on their house or build a new house, there's many different departments at town hall that you have to go through, and each one has its own set of regulations and rules, and you just need someone to design the site and to help you follow those rules.
And I've also heard you say that it's different for every town, too. It's not universal.
Yes. Each town, Connecticut is a home rule state. So there's 161 different municipalities, each with their own different set of regulations.
Yikes.
So it can get tough.
Absolutely. Which leads me to my next question. How do you stand out from the competition and become the go-to person in your field? Because I happen to know you are.
Thank you. I like to think I'm pretty – well, in fact, I know I'm pretty 50-50, left brain, right brain. There's as much artistry to what I do as there is science and engineering. Sometimes you have to be able to look at a site and have to think three-dimensionally. And so what I do is I take a look at a site and I kind of see where can I fit things in. There was a sanitarian at the Greenwich Health Department whose nickname for me was the Magician.
And love that.
Yeah, I like that one too. And basically because I can see a site in my mind and I can make things work. So I don't like to hear no, that you can't do something on a site.
So to put my own words over that, I have a property. There's wetlands somewhere on that property. That is not an automatic, this is, you can't do anything with this property.
Right.
It's an issue that has to be dealt with, but it doesn't mean that it's a no-go.
Right. It's not the end-all, be-all. There's a good chance that something can be done on the property. It may not be what you had in your mind,
right?
But it could be some variation or scaled down version of
that. And this issue is near and dear to my heart because I live right on Five Mile River. In fact, it runs through my backyard. So issues of what I would like to do as again, I'm saying this not because it's me, but simply for other people to relate to this, that there are things that you can do. You just have to work within the law and within the
right.
approvals.
Yes.
The other thing is your accessibility, because I know this is something you pride yourself on.
I really try to return phone calls every day, the same day. Same thing with email. I know one of the biggest hang-ups that people have is when you don't call them back right away. So I try to be very timely. I can't always do it, but I do my best to try to return phone calls and emails the same day every day.
And that's huge. And we're all slipping on that because we're so inundated with voicemails and with emails and trying to keep all the plates spinning. So I admire you for that. The other thing that I know about you, and I've heard this not, you know, from other sources, is that you have an amazing professional relationship with the departments, with the people who are going to be the decision makers on whether these things are go or no go.
Yeah, I try to always keep things professional. I don't always agree with what comes out of the various town halls and with the people, but at the end of the day, they are people, and you know, you have to try to work things out with people and just not be cantankerous or about it. You know, you just have to kind of work with people and be somewhat agreeable. You don't always bend, but you know.
Yeah.
You
try to come up with the best solution and the most logical solution. I love that. So big issue in this state and in this county in particular, in Fairfield County, is flooding. And so what are some of the things that people can do to avoid flooding in their homes?
It's actually some very simple things. First of all, check your gutters. Or hire a service to come out and check your gutters, especially if you have a 2 or 3 story house. You may not want to get up on a ladder yourself, but you know, that's one of the big things. If gutters are blocked, what happens is water just kind of comes over the top, and sometimes it can get back behind the gutters, and then it starts getting into the roof. Make sure that your downspouts, which are where the gutters come down along the house, make sure that those drain away from the house, because oftentimes when someone calls me up and says, oh, I've got a drainage problem, that's one of the first questions I ask them. I said, look out your window. Can you tell me where do your downspouts discharge? If they're right up against the foundation, chances are that water can't get out.
Right.
And so water, you know, seeks its easiest path, and that's right along the foundation wall and into your basement.
that makes total sense to me. So another issue that a lot of us in this area who aren't on public service deal with are septic systems. So what can you do to lengthen the life expectancy of a septic system? Are there tricks?
Yes. The biggest factor is water use coupled with how often you clean the septic tank. It really depends on how big your family is. Like in my case, since there's five of us, we have our septic tank cleaned every year. Mm-hmm. Now, if you have a smaller family or if it's just one person, you could probably get away with every 2 years. Mm-hmm. But what happens is it's the solids in the septic tank that if you have a high water usage, those get stirred up and drained out to the leaching area. And once the pores in the leaching area clog, then the water has no place to go except to break out at the surface. And that's what's called a septic system failure.
Gotcha.
So the easy fix is make sure your septic tank is pumped regularly. And then the harder fix for some people is control your water usage.
Which, you know, we are living in a green world today, and people certainly are more conscious of it. The equipment that we buy mm-hmm. is making us more water efficient. But we still probably waste way, way, way too much water.
Yes.
And it's interesting because you just really enlightened me about something. I always think the water goes directly into the public, sewer system, and it doesn't. It goes into – a lot of it goes right into the septic system.
It depends
system.
On where you live. You know,
right.
So here in central Greenwich and in town, most of those are sewered. So theoretically, not that I advise it, but you could run the tap and you wouldn't have a problem.
Right.
But if you're in backcountry or in my case in New Canaan where a lot of the town is septic, you can have one leaky toilet and that could destroy your entire septic system.
Wow. Something to think about. So let's talk about what's happening in the engineering and regulatory field. And since we're right here in Greenwich, we'll talk about Greenwich first. But what are you seeing as the trends? And just to give a preface to this, my first husband was a civil engineer and did subdivision development and stormwater management and septic, control and all these things back in the 70s before it was even fashionable. So I have a little bit of knowledge about it, but I am personally stunned with what I'm seeing as some of the things happening today. So from your perspective as an engineer, what's happening?
It's getting harder. In fact, the town of Greenwich is adopting a brand new drainage manual January 1st, 2012. Yesterday, I attended a training session that was put on by the town to kind of help the design community, other engineers like myself, try to figure out this manual. It's a big change from what's currently the norm. Basically, both the town and the state is moving towards what's called low-impact development, which is – it's just a different way of thinking with stormwater design. It's all about maintaining natural areas, minimizing development, minimizing amount of impervious areas,
like
using more
lots
infiltration.
And,
yes,
yeah,
things like
okay.
that. And it's not that that's a bad thing. I think it's very good that we do low impact development. However, it's a very thick drainage manual. It's about 2 inches thick, and it's a lot to go through. And I think there's going to be a big learning curve for everybody, both the engineers who are doing the design, the regulators who are reviewing the design, and the builders who ultimately have to
build what
we design. And I think there's going to be a big pushback from the building community because it is such a change from the way things are being done.
And do you see that trend coming up in other municipalities?
Yes, because it's going to be the federal government is enacting regulations as far as stormwater control with the Clean Water Act. And,
right.
And so the state of Connecticut just redid their drainage manual in August. They came out with the whole new LID or low impact development addendum to the stormwater quality manual in Connecticut. So this is going to become the norm for the entire state.
It'll become
and other
the
states.
Norm.
Yes.
Okay. So we do have to be aware of that. So I'll tell you what, we're coming up on the perfect place to take a break. We will take our commercial break at this point. When we come back, we're going to continue to talk to Rob about this, about social media, about when you should hire an engineer, and about fee structures, what you should look for and what you should expect in terms of investment. So this is Carol McManus, America's LinkedIn Lady on the LinkedIn Lady Show, 1490 WGCH. Stay tuned and we will be right back.
From the WGCH Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Dr. Bill Evans with your Doppler weather radar forecast. WGCH brings you up-to-the-minute weather 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Going to need your rain gear today. Going to be a cooler day, too. Highs are only going to be in the mid-50s today, probably. Probably dropping down to the low 50s in the afternoon with showers off and on. Colder air starts pouring in here tonight. The lows drop down into the low 40s with a couple of showers. And then Thursday and Friday are going to be some chilly days. We'll warm back up into the 50s for the weekend with a lot of sunshine. I'm meteorologist Dr. Bill Evans for 1490 WGCH.
Every business today must have a presence on the internet to compete. Carol McManus, the LinkedIn lady, is an expert who has firsthand experience on growing a business using the free elements of social media. Visit LinkedInLady.com. That's LinkedInLady.com. It's no longer just about a website. It requires a comprehensive and clever integration of communication and interaction with your client. Carol McManus, the LinkedIn lady, will teach you the most efficient and effective way to start today with the resources you already have at your disposal. Social networking is about building relationships. It's not about selling. The effective use of social media will draw clients to you like a powerful magnet before you ever offer your services. Carol McManus, the LinkedIn lady, has new ideas to incorporate social media into your business. Visit LinkedInLady.com. That's LinkedInLady.com.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the LinkedIn Lady Show. This is Carol McManus here with my guest today, Rob Frangione, and we are having a lively discussion about engineering and what you can and cannot do and what the future holds for you in terms of your ability to do what you would like to do on your property. So let me ask what may be a really naive question, but when do I know I need an engineer? When should somebody like you come into the picture?
There's many different times that the engineer could come in. If you're looking to buy a house, sometimes it's good to have an engineer come and take a look at the property and give you some advice as to, you know, is there a wetland over here? Well, we can't say it is or is not a wetland because we're not soil scientists.
Right.
Based on our experience, we can say, I think that may be a wetland. Perhaps you should hire a soil scientist to determine the wetland limit. And then if you do have a wetland, here are some of the things you can and can't do, what the typical setbacks are, how this might affect your property. If you currently are a homeowner and you're looking to put an addition on,
or a pool, or
any kind of outbuilding, you'll need an engineer typically to develop a drainage plan, typically to do something with a septic system, whether it's a reserve area or a new septic system. And so you need the engineer to be at the beginning of the process so that you don't hire an architect or a landscape architect that comes up with a great design and it looks beautiful, but it doesn't necessarily take into account the setbacks that you need for the septic system or the drainage or anything like that. So it's good to work with the architect, work with the landscape architect.
Wow, that's really good advice, because your instinct would be go to the architect first and design what you want the new addition to look like,
or
what you want the pool to look like, or like you said, the landscape architect. Mm-hmm. The other part of that would be the emotional detachment. They come up with this gorgeous design, and then when you do get the engineer involved, you find out can't really do that.
Sometimes I have to be dad and say no. It's tough. And I don't like to do that. I usually find a way to work around it. But sometimes, you know, I can't bend the laws of physics. So.
That's a good way to look at it. I love it. And Mother Nature does have her way. And our town authorities, unfortunately, are the watchdogs and the guardians to make sure that our space is protected. Mm-hmm. So let me ask you a tough question. In this economy, everybody wants a deal. Mm-hmm. So should people be getting a break on design fees? What's your theory on that?
Again, engineering is a design profession. I often say that you don't pick your attorney by his hourly rate. You don't pick your heart surgeon based on what he charges for a procedure. And as such, you shouldn't pick your engineer or your surveyor or your architect or landscape architect by what their design fees are. It's their knowledge, experience, ability, and responsiveness that count for a lot.
Now, let's slow that down. That's a good litmus test. Mm-hmm. Knowledge, experience, ability, and responsiveness. Mm-hmm. So for anyone who's considering hiring any of these experts, those are the kinds of questions you want to ask and the kinds of referrals that you want to look to find out what the experience was working with this person and were you satisfied at the end of the project.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about that a little bit more. How I know, again, having been married to one in my past life, that engineers are sometimes treated as a commodity, as a necessary evil.
Right. Yes. Unfortunately, you know, in this market, people are shopping around and trying to find good deals. And you know, the old saying is true. You get what you pay for.
Mm-hmm.
You want an engineer who is knowledgeable in town. Knows the regulations, has done projects similar to that before, unfortunately, it costs money. You can have things cheap, you can have things fast, or you can have things done right.
And eventually, in order to get through the governing authorities, mm-hmm. it has to be done right.
Right, right.
So if you start with that premise, then mm-hmm. to me, the other thing that you didn't talk about is you did talk about relationships, but the people who really know the local laws, like yourself, mm-hmm. who have the relationships with the authorities, who can go in and have an intelligent discussion and come to an agreement about what can and cannot be done.
Yes,
and I know that sets you apart, and I think that's something for people to appreciate. So, advice to anyone out there listening: if you are considering something, don't pay to or don't invest a limited amount of money to have it done wrong, only to have to go back and have it redone anyway, is what I'm hearing you say.
Get it done right the first time.
So let's switch to my favorite subject, which is social media. I know you just totally revamped your website. And before we go any further, let's mm-hmm. make sure we tell people how they can find you.
Sure. The best way to reach me is my website. It's www.frangione.net. That's FRANGIONE.net. It's got all my contact information. It has some of what I do and some information about myself.
Great. So how are you using or planning to use social media to support your business?
Right now, the biggest avenue is LinkedIn. I've been using that to reconnect with some referral partners with whom I haven't talked to in years. I mean, I've been practicing engineering for 16 years, and there are some people that I haven't spoken with in 4 and 5 years. Mm-hmm. So I've gone on LinkedIn and say, "Hi, you may have remembered me from when I presented on the so and so project. I'd like to reconnect with you on LinkedIn." And so then we become I forget what LinkedIn calls it, associates, friends, or connections.
Right.
Connections, yeah. And so I'm trying to use it to basically become top of mind with some of the people with whom I used to work on prior projects.
And Rob and I have talked extensively about this, and it's a good chance for me to sort of put that reminder into people's minds that it doesn't mean just going up and spiffing up your profile and reaching out to these connections. In order to stay top of mind, and that's a huge important phrase, mm-hmm. you need to use LinkedIn on a regular basis. You need to go in and update on, and which again, if you're a Facebook user, that would be posting on your wall. If you're a Twitterer, it would be sending out a tweet on a regular basis. But you really want to make a habit of maybe not every single day, but at least two or three times a week, you want to go in and update and let people know what's going on in your world, because LinkedIn rewards those who are active on LinkedIn. And when you do that, mm-hmm. you're going to show up on their network update page when the next time they log on. So not only have you reconnected with them, but you're constantly reminding them. It's almost like mm-hmm. proverbially pulling your business card out of their Rolodex or out of their constant contact account, whatever it is. So good for you on that. And I know you also use email, aggressively to stay in touch with people.
Yes,
right.
Yes. I do try to, like I said, respond to people's emails every day when they contact me.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully through LinkedIn, I'll be able to reconnect via email to people with whom I haven't spoken in years. And then that will lead to phone conversations and hopefully face-to-face meetings.
And I'm so glad you said it that way, Rob, because again, that's sort of been my mantra, is no matter what platform you're using or you're comfortable with, social media is not first and foremost about selling
mm-hmm.
who you are and what you are and what your services are. It's really about building those relationships, which then lead to the more traditional ways of doing business with mm-hmm. people, having a phone conversation, meeting at Starbucks for a cup of coffee, having the opportunity to do a presentation and then ultimately engage in the business. So mm-hmm. I applaud you for doing that, and we've talked about that. So we're going to be coming up on the end of the show right now. And before I go into the close and my big announcement, any last thoughts you want to leave people about this whole subject of engineering, things to think about, or how you can help them?
If you have a question about your property, future property, again, feel free to contact me via my website that has all my contact information, both email, phone number. And you know, things are just getting more and more difficult, so you're going to need to bring somebody on board to help you through it.
And something just occurred to me. We didn't talk about time, mm-hmm. but this does take time. This
yes.
doesn't happen overnight, so right. you do need to plan on that. If you can't make a decision to put a pool in and mm-hmm. contract to have it done next week, it's
right.
going to take some effort.
Months.
Months sometimes. Okay, good advice. Good advice. So if you're planning those spring projects, net, it's not too soon to call Rob.
Right. Yeah, call now.
So Franchione.net. Okay, we are coming up to the end of the show. And I want to make my big announcement today because I am going to be signing off on WGCH on this weekly platform. This has been a wonderful, wonderful home for me for the last year, and I'm deeply appreciative and in awe of the staff here at WGCH. But what has happened in my world, because the subject of social media is such a global platform, is that the show has been airing on a station, on an internet radio station called tokinet.com, and I'm going to be going to a five-day-a-week platform, which will launch on November 28th, so the Monday after Thanksgiving. You will be able to tune in to the LinkedIn Lady Show on a live stream on the internet on rockstarradionetwork.com. That's rockstarradionetwork.com. It'll be 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And if you don't get to listen to the show live, all of the shows are downloaded automatically to iTunes, so you can find any of those shows. And we'll be having lots of guests, experts like Rob, who are going to give great information about their business and business tips, as well as how they use social media experts, internet marketing experts, and the same great programming that I have been privileged to share here with the WGCH audience over the last year. So it's been a great year, and I'll leave you again with sort of where we started at the top of the hour. Pay attention to what's going on in the news. You can certainly rely on people like me, but there's lots of good information out there so that you stay current on how social media can benefit your business and how it can impact what you're doing and help you accomplish your business goals. You all know me well enough to know by now that I'm all about using social media to help grow your business. And it's through relationships, it's through good habits, but in cases like Facebook, when they make announcements like this, you do need to stay on top of it. You have to take personal responsibility for watching your privacy settings, watching your security, using it smartly, and then managing it. And if you don't manage it personally, have someone manage it for you so that you get the results that you are looking for. So I want to say thank you to my guest, Rob Frangione. Just a wealth of information. Again, just to make sure, in case you didn't get to write it down and maybe you're at a spot now where you have a pencil, it's www.frangione.net, and that's spelled FRANGIONE.net. And for me, you can find me on Facebook at Twitter at Carol_McManus. You can find me on Facebook with my LinkedIn Lady page, and certainly go to LinkedInLady.com. I look forward to continuing our on-air relationship with Rockstar Radio Network, the LinkedIn Lady Show, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, starting November 28th. I thank you all. Have a great day. This is Carol McManus, the LinkedIn Lady, signing off.